It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here as we examine issues cropping up with thousands of dams in Wisconsin, their stability, what to do with them as they age. Join in with your questions or comments about the state's dams, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Uriah Monday is State Dam Safety Engineer for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Uriah, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so let's zoom in on one dam in Burlington. Last month, they had the referendum on the ballot asking whether the Echo Lake Dam should be repaired or removed. And 60% of voters want to modify it. And modifying it was also greenlit this week by the Burlington Common Council. Tell us about the situation with the Echo Lake Dam.
So the Echo Lake Dam, like all statutorily large dams, and we can talk about what that term means in a little bit, but like all statutorily large dams in Wisconsin, needs to have a spillway capacity that's commensurate with its what we call our its hazard rating. A hazard rating is not a statement on how good or bad the condition of the dam is. It's a statement on what could be damaged or who could be injured if it were to fail. So the Echo Lake Dam is a significant hazard dam, which is our medium category between low and high. And its spillway needs to have a capacity that's capable of carrying a 500-year flood. So after an analysis was done some years ago and we recognized that it was to be in the significant category and needed that spillway capacity, when those analyses are done, we issue a letter that says you have 10 years to bring your dam into compliance with the code. So that the way to come into compliance is to increase capacity, certainly. One option is to remove the dam or modify it in such a way that it's no longer in that large dam category. So there are a few ways to come into compliance with that code. So at this point,
Can you explain a little bit more about spillway capacity and how dams must be in compliance?
Sure. Spillway capacity is how much flow the dam can pass through its spillway, its controlled outlet, right? Envision gates on a dam or maybe, you know, a drop structure with a large pipe, et cetera, right? Once a flood comes that has so much water that that spillway can't control it, then water begins to come over the embankment or other parts of the dam that are not designed to carry flow. And that puts a large risk for dam failure on the table. So the larger the hazard risk downstream, the more spillway capacity you want to build into a dam so it's capable of carrying a larger storm and thus reducing the risk of overtopping or failures from high water.
Echo Lake Dam is owned by the city of Burlington. Does that make it more straightforward to do something about this dam, to get it into compliance when it's owned by a city?
Well, typically a municipality will have more financial tools at their disposal than maybe a private owner might have. So, and you know, I never like to spend other people's money for them. So, you know, that does put them in a better position to handle the cost of whatever method of compliance they choose.
So looking forward here to modification, when a dam is modified, what types of materials are used to ensure its longevity?
Well, I mean, dams actually use quite basic materials, right? Earth, concrete, steel, but all of those materials can be engineered to be stable when carrying flow or being subject to pressures from, you know, holding a pool of water, things like that. There's been, you know, advances, of course, over the last 50 years to a century in the quality of those materials and the quality control and some of the techniques for rehabbing, say, large earthen dams, which we don't have a lot of in the state, but those techniques have come a long way.
I was fascinated when you talk about techniques. I was fascinated how on Burlington's website, you could click on two animated videos and you could see the two different options. It would show the landscape, what it would look like with dam removal versus dam modification. And I thought that was really interesting how far technology has come to predict how a dam and the landscape will respond to two different choices.
Yeah, I've not personally seen those for Echo Lake, but I've seen a lot of good renderings. Like the design CAD programs now have great tools for creating three-dimensional renderings. They have fly-throughs and things like that. I think that really helps dam owners, the public, us, right, visualize what it might look like. So, I mean, the old days, right, you'd have to roll out a plan on a table and hope somebody could visualize what was shown on that plan. Now we have, you know, some of those other very interactive things that a wide range of audience can view and understand.
Uriah Monday with us as we talk about the state of Wisconsin dams. Uriah is the state dam safety engineer with the DNR. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's talk about high hazard dams. The American Society of Civil Engineers says Wisconsin has nearly 200 dams in this high hazard category. What does that mean about these particular structures?
So high hazard dams are defined as those that, if they fail, are likely to cause loss of life, significant property damage, that type of thing. So high hazard dams, I mentioned there's a couple other categories, right, of hazard rating, but in the state of Wisconsin, high hazard large dams need to have certain design requirements applied to them. The easiest ones to point to are that spillway capacity I named before. Mm-hmm. Spillway capacity needs to be capable of passing a 1,000-year flood through the dam, but they're also inspected by professional engineers every 2 years. So between spillway capacity, which protects it in the case of a large flood, and frequent inspections, which help detect problems early, we hope to reduce that risk to a great degree.
What do you look for, you know, in terms of communities that have a high hazard dam? What actions do they take, and do they take them fast enough?
So I talked about those inspections that are done every couple of years. As part of that inspection, whoever does the inspection creates a report. Our department reviews that report, and if there are deficiencies noted, we'll issue directives to that dam owner, right? Mm-hmm. Repair this, monitor that, et cetera. So based on those directives, those are more or less, you must do these, and we put a timeline on them. And we work with that dam owner to achieve those, right? So it takes budgeting, it takes planning, it takes, you know, getting an engineer and or a contractor on board to do them. But that's the mechanism that we help dam owners keep up with having a safe dam.
Uriah Monday with us, state dam safety engineer at the Wisconsin DNR. Call in with your questions about all things dams, repairs, reconstructions, ownership, hazards, what you've seen in the dam in your community, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We dive into issues surrounding the 3,900 dams in Wisconsin. Call in with your questions about dams, 800-642-1234. Send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Uriah Monday is state dam safety engineer for the DNR and stays with us. Okay, so Uriah, we're going to zoom in now on the Kinnickinnick watershed. The River Falls City Council recently agreed to participate in a study by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to remove the Powell Falls Dam and the Junction Dam. Why is River Falls in west central Wisconsin considering the removal of both dams?
So that's a project I'm kind of tangentially involved with, but that project, to my understanding, is twofold in goal. Number one, the Powell Falls Dam was in great need of repair. I believe it had a breach in it and wasn't really capable of holding a pool anymore. They weren't able to generate power with any significant amount of efficiency there. So it needed repair. And then second, the KK has is a great fishery habitat, to my understanding. So removal of the dam is hoped to improve that. So between the repairs needed and the costs involved there, and then the potential for improving the fishery, that dam was, they've applied for a permit to remove that one. So the second one, which is just upstream, again, to my understanding, that's the Army Corps is more involved in that one, and I believe that's in a more of a study phase. I hear you just said that they had talked about that at
Why
council level. So.
is a hydro dam more complicated to plan and remove? I mean, and what are the complications there with a hydro dam?
Sure. So hydro dams are actually regulated by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. So we have a sort of a partnering role with FERC dams. So their processes do have a little more complex bend to them.
And you have to work with the federal government at the same time,
Correct.
in a complex way in and of itself in the community. There are about half a dozen dam failures each year. Is that pace happening again this year?
That's what we've been experiencing lately. Yep. I guess it's maybe worth putting a picture in everybody's mind about a dam, right? A lot of times
Yes.
when we envision a dam, we see the Hoover Dam in our mind, or maybe one of the big ones on the Wisconsin River, the Mississippi, et cetera. You mentioned 3,900 dams. 1,000 of those are what we call statutorily large, and the others are small. So even, say, many of the smaller dams, if our folks go to the state forests up north, and there are smaller lakes in state forests, those are all dams, right? So those are all in the catalog. So if you are familiar with any of those, right, envision that, and the half dozen that we've been experiencing each year are much of those varieties.
Okay. Let's take a call now. Paul joining us from Slinger. Paul, what's on your mind?
With these 3,900 dams that exist in the state, does the DNR or any governmental agency of Wisconsin offer any preliminary consulting service to find out if it makes economic sense to see if you could create hydroelectric power with these dams, creating a flue and putting in some small turbines?
Paul, thank you for a great question. Uriah.
So that's something that's been coming up more and more recently. At this time, no, we don't have any assistance available for that exploratory part. As I mentioned before, hydropower is governed by the federal government, licensure process, et cetera, there. So what the future holds, I don't know. It's very possible that we have some means of partnering with the federal government to understand what they would be looking for also, and starting to work with some of those owners. But at this point, we don't have that.
But there has been partnership with state government. The municipal dam grant program in this current budget cycle allocated $10 million for dam grants like engineering and maintenance. What impact have these funds had?
So those grants, there's actually two grants. One is for municipalities and one is for any dam owner. The grant for municipalities has assisted financially up to 50% of the cost of repairs, maintenance, spillway capacity upgrades. It assists in payment for the engineering that goes into those plans. And those dams, by and large, right, since they're owned by municipalities, they have high public use. So that not only keeps the public safe, but also, you know, provides that benefit of the, you know, the lake that's involved there. So
do you anticipate that that municipal grant program will continue into the next budget cycle?
That program has been consistently funded for more than 20 years. So okay. we are very hopeful and confident that that will continue. Yes.
The American Society of Civil Engineers, their most recent grade for Wisconsin dams is a C+. Do you agree with that assessment for dam infrastructure in our state?
So if I would have come home with a C+, I would have heard about it way back in the day, but it is a slightly above average grade. Are we excited about it? No. Does that mean there's room for improvement? Yes. The bullet points in that assessment, talk about maintaining safety, increasing public education and awareness, mm-hmm. maintaining and increasing funding levels. And I think all of those things, we are on the right track to do.
Talking about the state of Wisconsin dams with Uriah Monday, the state dam safety engineer with the Wisconsin DNR. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Jerry is with us from Chippewa Falls. Jerry, hi, go ahead.
Good morning. Good morning. Of the dams in the state, how many of them do have some type of fish ladder to them? And obviously probably not very many do, but how do I as a citizen maybe help push municipalities in the right direction to help install fish ladders?
Jerry, thank you. Uriah.
Yeah, Jerry, great question. I don't know a precise number. I would guess around a dozen dams in the state, right? So when compared to the 3,900 we talked about, that's not a high percentage. Certainly at a municipal dam, right, the place to always start is your local municipal government. Right, your council member, your mayor, working with those folks who, make the decisions and have the purse strings to implement that.
Can you explain what a fish ladder is and what it enables?
Yeah, that's yes, right. Yeah, thanks for calling me out on that. So a dam provides a barrier to fish migrating upstream. Right. Mm-hmm. So a fish ladder is a portion of the dam that has small incremental steps so that fish can navigate up and over the dam. So so installing those helps provide connectivity to upstream habitat that's not otherwise available with that barrier.
But you would see that as a very local issue?
Well, so the construction on dam, right, is a local issue. Those decisions about do we modify our dam, do we increase the, do we bear the cost of modifying the dam, right, to implement that. There are, there's assistance then sort of available after that decision is made, right, in terms of our fisheries managers, right, they can provide an insight into what you might gain from it, right. We talked about the municipal dam grant mm-hmm. before. Those kind of things, but that initial, what do I do with this dam, starts at the local level.
How concerning are the effects of climate change on dam infrastructure?
So they're concerning, certainly, right? If we have more or unpredictable weather patterns, and we've talked about safety of dams closely tied to how much water they can pass, that's an issue. There are other issues though too, right? Aging infrastructure is one of them. So climate change aside, aging infrastructure is a problem. The design standards that were used in the past, we have dams on landscape that are 100 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even if they have been kept well, the design standards that they used are outdated and maybe not safe, right? We know more presumably than people did 100 years ago about construction and engineering. So we've got a few problems to juggle on our hands.
And just circling back for a moment to the city of Burlington, their dam has been rebuilt, repaired, modified, and rehabilitated numerous times. Is that typical for a dam in its, 100, nearly 200 year history?
It's very typical. It's typical for a dam. It's typical for your house. It's typical for a bridge or a building. Yeah.
Uriah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Uriah Monday is State Dam Safety Engineer for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Dave Mattingly. Brittany Griner is back in the U.S., where she's expected to undergo a medical checkup after spending nearly 10 months in a Russian prison. The U.S. Olympian and WNBA star stepped off a plane in Texas before dawn, a day after President Biden announced her release. Griner was exchanged for Russian arms dealer Viktor Boot, who was serving a 25-year sentence at a federal prison in the U.S. The White House says the president had been hoping to also secure the release of former U.S. Marine Paul Whelan, who was arrested in Russia nearly 4 years ago on espionage charges. David Whelan is Paul Whelan's brother.
He was entrapped, run through the Russian legal system such as it is, and came out the other side with the label of espionage and spy put on him. But I don't think anybody takes that seriously. I don't even think that the Russian government takes it seriously. It's merely a label that they can then use to extract a concession from the U.S. government.
David Whelan was speaking to NPR's Morning Edition. Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema says she's leaving the Democratic Party and registering as an independent. Sinema spoke to Politico and CNN, saying she's removing herself from the party structure as more voters in her state and across the country tire of partisanship. A former U.S. attorney is among three lawyers chosen to conduct an external review of the deadly shooting at the University of Virginia.